Listen, if God has rescued you recently, if you had a close call, it's God saying to you, hey, I've given you a second chance. Now, what are you going to do with it? It's God saying to you, I rescued you this time, and I haven't rescued you to go back to what you were before.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is your host, Joshua Halleck, here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church, senior pastor and author here in the city, and we are in a series, Pastor Mark, called Don't Stop Believing, where you're taking us through the life of Abraham. And he's in a situation where he's working with his nephew, and they are walking the line of compromise, something that all of us have to ask ourselves, are we chasing after the heart of God? How close can we get, you know, to compromise? How close can we get to the line? You know, do you find this to be a big issue for Abram?
I find it to be a big issue for all of us, Joshua. We all have a tendency to just see how far we can take it, go to the edge. And this message is for someone out there today that you are toying with fire here. And you know what I've discovered over the years, Joshua, and we see it really clearly in this passage, is that some of us know that we're getting involved either relationally in compromise. You know, Scripture tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. As soon as you start getting entangled relationally in relationships that will take you to the edge of compromise, it's really hard to pull away from it when you're hitched together.
Yeah, if you're there, if you're in it, and you're listening, somebody's listening and say, you know, I am in compromise. I mean, is it too late?
You know, it's never too late, but I do want to say that if you are a 25-year-old young woman right now and you are dating a non-believing boyfriend and you've made excuses, well, he's got a Bible, he's better than a lot of Christian guys that I know, plus he's hot, whatever your excuses may be, you can talk yourself into compromise. But on the other side of marriage, I've done the counseling for so many women that come to church alone with their children because they got in a compromising relationship and now their eyes are wide open.
Hmm. So today may be the opportunity to go back in time and deal with your issue right now. Ever wish that you could go back in time?
Sometimes.
Well, for some people listening today, as we read Genesis 14, this might be your opportunity to get things right the first time.
The problem with many of our lives is not the circumstance, the weather, or what's around us. The problem is we have a hole in the heart. We got a problem with our heart, and unless that's dealt with, we're going to find ourselves over and over in the same situation. I believe that God sends godly people to rescue us. Thank God for godly people that rescue. And hey, if God has empowered you and got you out of a mess and you're walking in the favor of God, you should be a rescuer. I mean, you should be someone pulling other people out. That's how Abraham was. Abraham couldn't just say, hey, Lot got himself in that mess. He better get himself out of the mess. No, Lot said Abraham said, he's my nephew. I need to help him. And so he went and rescued him. And here's what I want you to know. If recently you have been rescued financially, physically, relationally, if recently God has done a miracle in your life and he's rescued you out of a impending disaster, I mean something that was coming your way and God spared you, then this is not a time of saying, wow, that was close. God's really watching out for me. I can do it again and maybe he'll rescue. No. That is God's wake-up call. That is God's sounding the alarm. I rescued you this time, but don't go back because you'll be in trouble. Notice Lot. You know what happened to Lot? Abraham rescued him in chapter 14. Guess what? In chapter 18 and 19, Abraham is rescuing Lot again. And this time, he didn't turn out so well. He lost his wife and he lost everything else and had to run out of the city. Why? Because he didn't listen the first time. He didn't change the first time. Listen, if God has rescued you recently, if you had a close call, it's God saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's God saying to you, hey, I've given you a second chance. Now what are you going to do with it? It's God saying to you, I rescued you this time, and I haven't rescued you to go back to what you were before. Maybe you've been promiscuous and you've been out there, and you know that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you say, wow, I haven't been living the right way, and suddenly you're getting fevers, you're getting tired, and you're thinking about that last relationship that you had, and someone said that guy was really sick, and all of a sudden you think, AIDS. Maybe I got it. Man, that drives you to your knees. Oh God, I'm going to go to church. I haven't been there in a long time. I'm going to go to church. Is there a Bible study happening during the week? Man, I'm going to Bible study. I'm going to church. Is there a choir I can join? You're calling out to God. You're doing read through the Bible in a year. No, I'm going to do read through the Bible in 6 months. I'm really looking at this. And you're praying, and then finally you go and you muster the courage to get the AIDS test, and you're ready for the worst news, and then suddenly they tell you, no, you don't have AIDS. You're like, thank God! You know what happens to a lot of us? If there's not a change of heart and repentance in our heart, you know what happens? We say, wow, that was close. And then we go right back to the same old lifestyle. The Bible tells us that, I believe that it tells us in this way, that we need not to confuse temporary rescue with God's permission or blessing on your life choices, because God has rescued you for a purpose and for a destiny. God has used godly people. He's used your mother, your home group leader, an uncle, an aunt, someone to spare you. But he hasn't rescued you to fall back again. He's rescued you because he's got a plan and destiny for your life. You know what it tells us in Proverbs? You might not like this verse. This is a nasty image, but those that have a dog understand it. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. If you have a dog, you know what this verse is talking about. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool keeps making the same mistake over and over and over and over again. When we live near the edge of compromise, that happens. Let me give you our third point here. The third point is this. People of blessing are careful not to become entangled with finances and relationships that lead to compromise. Notice what it says in verse 17. God has rescued Lot. God has given Abraham victory. He gets Lot out of his situation. Verse 17, after Abraham returned from defeating the king that was allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheba. This is the king's valley. Verse 18. Then Melchizedek, have you ever heard that word Melchizedek? How many of you are familiar with that, Melchizedek? Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of the heaven and the earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. He tithed to Melchizedek. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. Verse 22. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of the heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. Now I want you to notice there's a huge lesson here. Abraham encounters two people when he returns from the battle. These are symbolic of two different individuals. He encounters Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, it talks about Melchizedek in the New Testament. You may have read about him. The Bible says that Melchizedek was king of Salem. You know what Salem was? Salem would be Jerusalem. And it says Melchizedek was a king and was a priest. He represented Christ. He's a type or a symbol of Christ to come. Jesus Christ was king and priest. And so Abraham tithes, gives a tenth of all that he has to Melchizedek. And he gives a tithe. Why? Because he wants everybody to know this was God who rescued me, not me, not myself. This was God who gave me the victory. I want you to hear very well. The king of Sodom represents compromise. The king of Sodom came to Abraham, and the king of Sodom said to Abraham, hey, you can keep all the treasures that you got from this rescue. Just give me the people. And Abraham says to Sodom, the king of Sodom, he says, I have made an oath before God Almighty. I won't take a penny of your possessions because I will not be entangled with you. Whoa, this is huge. Huge. How many of you know that compromise always goes like this, kind of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back a little bit. How many of you know that if you do someone a favor, someone does you a favor, but their values are not right, that they're going to ask you to do a favor back, and it may mean that you compromise your values. Have you ever received a gift or got help from someone that you say, well, they're not a very good person, and then they turn around, and when it's their time, they say, well, all I'm asking you to do is tell this little lie for me, and you won't do that? And you feel obligated to lie because they've helped you out and they're asking you to get entangled in their stuff. It's like a spider web. A spider web has this pool, and the more you try to get out of it, the more entangled you get involved in it. Abraham said, hey, I will bless God, I will give to God, but I will not get entangled with the money of compromise or the relationship in compromise, because I know if I open the door, I'm going to get real messed up in this, and eventually it's going to come back to bite me. I love what Abraham said, though. Do you see what Abraham said when Sodom came to him? He said, I have made an oath before God. I have sworn before God that I will not take one thing from you.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Living Near the Edge of Compromise, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark as we continue on in our series called Don't Stop Believing.
I call this a pre-battle plan. You see, I think if Abraham wouldn't have sworn before God that when the time came and he saw all this treasure and all this gold and all this silver, he would have been tempted to say, okay, I'll take it. But because he had made a plan ahead of time, how many of you know we need to plan ahead? How many of you know if you're going to that birthday party and you're on a diet, you can't determine before you go to the birthday party, you got to determine before you go to the birthday party, I will have no cake. Because if you say, well, I'm going to just check out the cake and see how it is, and I'll decide when I'm there whether I'm going to have the cake or not, guess what? You know you're going to have the cake. You get there, and they start cutting, and they say, that's a rainbow cake. That's my favorite. And that looks good. What if I just a little scoop here? Okay, just a thin slice. A little bigger than that, please. You know you're going to fall. Guess what? You don't decide when you're going to the Super Bowl party whether you're going to decide if you're going to drink or not at the party. You decide before you go to the Super Bowl party what your stand is going to be. Because you determine a pre-battle plan before you go there. Guess what? If you're going to that family gathering and you know those people are going to, that guy that you always fall for, that guy that always takes you down the wrong path, that guy that just your heart flutters for, but he's a bad influence on you, when before you know you're going to meet him, you don't say, well, I'm going to decide there whether I'm going to hang out with him or not. You have a battle plan before you go there. You determine before you go there what your battle plan is. You draw the line in the sand before you meet him, not determine whether you're going to, what you're going to do once you get there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The Bible says that Abraham told Sodom, I have made an oath before God Before I ever met you, before I had this meeting, I told God Almighty, I'm not going to take anything from you because I don't want to owe you anything and I don't want to become entangled with you. You know what Abraham knew? Abraham knew what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. You know what it says there? It says, don't team up. In the original, it says, don't be yoked with those who are unbelievers. How can goodness partner with wickedness, or how can light live with darkness? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know what that says? On the PowerPoint, you have a picture of a yoke. A yoke is where two oxen were tied to one pole. They couldn't get away from each other once they were yoked together. You know what the Bible says? That if you're going to enter into relationship or partnership, that you better be very careful what kind of relationship or partnership you get into, because once you're in it, it's hard to get out of it. Let me tell you something. If you're a believer, you say, well, I'm thinking about going into business, but I don't have the cash. I need someone, an investor, to put up the cash. And I got a cousin who's got a friend who's got a cousin who's got some money. Now, they're a little shady. They don't have a good reputation, but they got the cash. And so me and him, we're going to go into partnership. He's going to provide the cash. I'm going to provide the idea. Let me tell you, you go into partnership with someone that doesn't share your values, and I can guarantee that with a matter of time, you will highly regret it. Because any partner is going to steer the business the way they want to steer it. And before long, you're going to be doing things that you don't feel comfortable with. You're going to be compromising. You're going to be lacking integrity. You're going to be going down roads that you don't want to go because you've made an alliance and a partnership with someone that doesn't share your values. You know what's the biggest partnership? Marriage. You say, well, I want to get married. But this guy, well, is he a believer? Well, kind of. Kind of, huh? Well, you know, he's got his own spirituality. Really? Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, he watches Charlton Heston's Ten Commandments every year around Easter. Well, that's nice. He's got a Bible. He's got a big tattoo right here, a cross tattooed on his arm. Well, that's nice. You know, he's as good as most Christian men that I know. Really. And you keep talking to yourself. You keep talking yourself into it. And let me tell you, if you go into a marriage with a man that does not have a heart for God, that does not share your spiritual passion, that does not share worship with you, that hasn't given his life over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I'm not going to tell you if, I'm going to tell you when you will regret it. When you're coming to church alone, when you're trying to raise your kids and he's not in the same vein, when he's passive about spirituality and doesn't care and lets you do it, you're going to wake up one day and say, why did I marry this guy that doesn't follow God? Because the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. You say, well, hey, I'm not even talking about marriage. I'm just dating him. Guess what? There's a little step between dating and marriage. That's all the married people clapping that already married. Let me tell you something else. Listen, I want you to hear me well. Don't date him if you wouldn't marry him. Let me say that again. Well, I'm not serious about this guy, then don't date him. I mean, he's just like a fill-in right now. Don't date him. I mean, it's not going to go anywhere. Oh, how many times I've heard that. If you don't think he's the kind of guy you'd marry, you don't date him. If you don't think she's the kind of girl you would marry, you don't date him. Because every person you date is a potential marriage partner. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. You make an oath before God before it happens. And here's what I'm going to give you a challenge to do this morning. Every one of you, when you walked in this auditorium, in your bulletin, you should have received a little card that says, "No compromise pre-battle plan." How many of you have it? Just wave it at me. Okay. Here's what I want you to know this morning. We all have weaknesses. Tell the person beside you, "I have a weakness." Man, it's hard for some of you to say that. You're like, I have a... just say it. Weakness. Come on. Be honest. You're not Superman. You're not Superwoman. You got weaknesses. Okay. And you know what your weaknesses are. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Instead of waiting till you fall, instead of living on the edge and slipping off, I want you under where it says one area of weakness, I want you to take out a pen right now and I want you to write down what is the area of major weakness in your life where the enemy gets a hold of you. Is it lust? Is it depression? Is it lying? Is it financial compromise? What is the area that you say, "Boy, this is where I struggle"? And number two is, what is your advance action plan? We're going to collect all these, and next week we're going to put them on PowerPoint. Just kidding. So please sign your name. No, we're not going to collect them. Don't worry. This is for you. Some of you say, I'm tearing this up right now. What is your action plan? Abraham said, "I made an oath before God." Hey, Abraham was a businessman. He liked to make money. He knew that that was a weakness. And so he made a vow before God. "I'm not going to touch a penny. I'm not going to take a cent. And I vow before God that I won't do it, so that when I encounter this problem, I've already determined what I'm going to do." Some of you every week struggle with something. What is your action plan? Maybe you need to determine that every time that television program comes, or that video or whatever, you're going to turn it off or turn stations. Maybe you need to determine that at that gathering that you're at, when people start getting critical and crude and nasty in your jokes, that you're not going to just sit there and listen and smirk and laugh and try not to be a part of it, but you're going to walk away. Maybe you're going to determine next time your boss tells you to lie for them, "Hey, tell them I'm not in." You're going to beforehand cover the phone and say, "I don't lie for anybody. Not for you, not for him, not for her. I don't lie." You say, "Well, what if I get fired? Better to work in a house of justice than a house of injustice." What's your battle plan? Make an oath before God ahead of time. And they pray, "Spirit of the living God, give me power to hold to this. And God, if there needs to be change in my heart, if there needs to be repentance in my heart, then break my heart, God, because I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. I'm not going to go back to that pattern. I'm not going to go back to that habit. I'm not going to live on the edge of compromise. In fact, by the power of God, I'm going to move away from the edge, and I'm going to start living closer to the heart of God, not right on the edge so that I can slip and fall. I've made a decision. That's not who I am. That's not where I'm going. I'm living a different way now in Jesus' name." Amen? I believe there's some people here this morning that you needed to hear this message. I believe there's some people here this morning that you know that you have been living on the edge. And you know what? You keep slipping and falling off the edge. Or maybe you're right about the time to fall off the edge, and it's the Spirit of God that's pulling you on. And you need to make a determination here by the power of God. "God, I will no longer live on the edge, because I'm setting myself up for a fall."
Well, that concludes part three, called Living Near the Edge of Compromise, which is part of Pastor Mark's series called Don't Stop Believing. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for part four. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. We hope that you've enjoyed today's broadcast. Thank you so much for listening. Part 4 is next, keeping your faith fresh for the long haul. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. God bless.